Grace and peace to you from God, who is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. Have you ever wished you could just sit down with Jesus and ask a question? One of those why questions, like why a pandemic? Why so much violence and racism and division? Why are there floods and hurricanes and fires and winter storms that are causing so much suffering? Why, Jesus, why all of this in 1 year? In today's reading, some people come to Jesus with just these sorts of questions. They have heard of a terrible act of state violence committed against their fellow Galileans, and they are trying to make sense of it. Why do these things happen? Why do good, innocent people suffer? Why do vulnerable people suffer arbitrary violence at the hands of those with power? Jesus doesn't answer them directly. What Jesus responds to is the other question that is underlying their question. Could it happen to me, Jesus? Am I safe, or can I keep myself safe? And Jesus says, "Do not think that they were worse sinners than you." He talks about another disaster, presumably an accident in which people died when a tower fell. And he says again, they did not suffer because they somehow deserved it. And then Jesus says something I think is very odd. He tells the people to repent. Actually, he says, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. What? If they didn't die because they deserved it, because they were wicked, why would my not repenting make me more vulnerable? I have to say, I don't get it fully. But Pastor Craig Kester at Luther Seminary helped me to understand it in some part. What Jesus does here is to refuse to let his hearers distance themselves. It's something that we all want to do when we hear stories of tragedy or disaster. That's terrible. But it couldn't happen to me because, fill in the blank, I'm educated. I make better choices. I follow the law. I'm not like those people. We find all these ways to distance ourselves from the tragedies that we hear, and Jesus won't have it. Do you think you are safe because you have privilege or power or status? Think again. And then Jesus reframes the response. Again, he turns the discussion. Given these struggles, these fears, where do you turn? Back to God. Because repent means not to confess or to feel bad because of what I've done wrong, but to turn. In this case, Jesus invites us to turn from selfish concerns and to turn to God and God's compassion and mercy. After the story, Jesus offers a number of parables. We hear the one about the fig tree in today's reading. There are others about the mustard seed and the yeast, which today's reading skips by. And Jesus performs another healing on the Sabbath. And then we pick up the story again. Some Pharisees come to Jesus to warn him that Herod wants to kill him. Now remember, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. This is the whole part of Luke's gospel where Jesus is traveling toward Jerusalem and what will happen there. Jerusalem is the territory of Herod. But Jesus seems to wave away the warning, belittling Herod by calling him that fox. Jesus continues, musing about his work and the necessity of his going to Jerusalem. He is on a path that he will not turn away from. And then I can almost imagine the change in his face. looking the way a person looks when they think about a loved one far away. And he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." In these words, we see the juxtaposition of Jesus and those who oppose him. Pilate and Herod and some few of the religious leaders are eager to use their power as power over other people, to use arbitrary shows of might and violence to make their point and control the people. But Jesus is not like that, not an angry judge, even when calling people to repentance. Instead, Jesus is like a mother seeing her children make choices that will not lead to life and flourishing. Seeing children choose to use drugs or fall into debt or join a gang or make all those mistakes that we can't protect our children from. And Jesus is heartbroken. When I was 20 years old, I got married. I was still in college, and I think of it now as a senior panic writ large. We were married for 5 years, and at 25, I found myself back in Albuquerque, divorced, dropped out of seminary, floundering. I asked my parents once, "Why didn't you tell me I was making a mistake?" They looked at me, a bit stunned, blinked, and said, "We did. You couldn't hear us." Yet, they had never once said, when I came home to share the news of divorce or came home to move in with them for a while, "We told you so." Instead, they offered love, compassion, forgiveness, and welcomed me home. I thought of that story when I thought of a mother, a parent watching their child make poor choices, the helplessness and sorrow of that moment. Jesus says, "I have desired to gather you, but you were not willing." That word for desire and will, it's the same word, telos. God's desire, God's will is for our well-being and flourishing. But too often, we choose to follow our desire, our will, in a different direction. Yet Jesus longs to gather us in, to bring us back into his fold with love and forgiveness. "How often I have desired to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Professor Audrey West from Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago points out that perhaps these words of Jesus aren't what people were expecting to hear. In the Old Testament, the promised Messiah was pictured as a powerful lion, a majestic eagle, a dangerous bear, but never a mother hen. West writes, "What is it like to have a mother hen for a savior? What is it like to be baby chicks in the face of a cosmic battle involving powers that kill? For many, it is tempting to ally with the fox, or at least to call for the farmer and his shotgun. But that is not the way of God. It is crowded beneath those wings, given that God keeps invite, oh, I'm sorry, it is crowded beneath those wings, given that God keeps inviting others into this barnyard kingdom. But still, the hen stays in the barnyard with all of them. When the fox comes, she is there. She is not the savior we imagined, but the savior we need." Does being in the barnyard mean we have nothing to fear? No, we still live in a world far distant from God's desire for our world, and there is much to fear. Again, in West's words, death is what happens when foxes go after chickens. But death is not the final word, nor is it the end of the story. Death is a part of the world we live in, physical death, death of hope, death of dreams, relationships, emotional deaths. It is part that invites us to repent, to turn away from what drains life, away from injustice and fear for ourselves and anxiety and self-centeredness, and turn back toward the God who always loves us, always forgives us, and welcomes us back home to the barnyard. We are always invited to turn back to the God who brings life and hope right out of the jaws of suffering, failure, and death. Thanks be to God. Amen.